Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 278 shows and counting this evening. And we're going to have another great show, and I hope you enjoy. Keep coming back, because all these shows are so important for the animals. We cannot give up. I mean, we got to keep going and help get the changes better for their lives and futures. Because all lives matter out there, everyone, including the animals. So we can't put them on the back burner or forget about them or ignore them, because they, you know, they suffer just like we do out there, a lot of them. And they feel pain and suffering and you know, the abuse and the neglect. There's no excuse for it, the cruelty out there. So we got to be their voices and make sure they live in comfort and anxiety and fear-free and, you know, live in freedom, because they so well deserve, all these animals out there. They deserve to have their rights granted, not violated. But I'm going to go over a couple things before we do get into the show. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. There is an article on there, and if you'd like to read it, and there's places on the article where you can take action, okay? So please check it out. You know, sign the petitions or make the phone calls, because our topic tonight is going to be your urge your legislators to co-sponsor the Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act, and that's ACE, H.R. 8052. So we want to play, this has been, you know, this is much needed in our laws, and that's how we get changes made, everyone, to contact our legislators. We can, you know, talk all we want to on this radio platform or on any social media site out there, making comments or, you know, out there in the open, talking behind closed doors. But the real deal is when we go make that right, that foot in the right direction, contact our state legislators. And when once you do, because in order to see change, you've got to take action. So please, everyone, here is the number to the Capitol switchboard. I got it memorized now, but I got it in my contacts. Area code 202-224-3121. It's going to ask your zip code and then ask them to, you know, transfer it to your state representative or your senator. And all you got to do is just tell them what you're, you know, calling about, what bill or what you'd like to see happen, because our voices do matter out there, everyone. Never think they don't. But we're going to go ahead. These shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so if you ever miss any or you're coming in late, you can always go back to listen to them. And that would, if you go to the PPJ Gazette online on the right-hand column search bar. Just search Voices Carry for Animals, or you can put my name in there, Debbie Dahmer. And a big, huge thank you and a shout-out to Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online. She has some hot topic shows, ladies and gentlemen, if you check them out, helping out the elderly a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different shows, different hosts, and during the week, and how you can find that if you follow the PPJ Gazette Online. So she helped me with the Voices Carry for Animals from the beginning, and changed over with myself. We're still in contact, friends and everything. Takes teamwork, everybody, and we're still team. So whatever you can do to help out, and all these shows, like I said, you can always go back and listen to them. I mean, 277 shows, you know, on blogtalkradio.com. You can also search Voices Carry for Animals, and all the links will come up. Just push, you know, press the link, which one you want to listen to. Wait a minute to download, and it will play. You can share from the left side of the screen. But I want to go ahead and get on good with the show. You can listen to this show worldwide, everybody. You can listen from the phone. You can listen, get hooked up with Skype and the internet. So this show really travels. And a huge thank you to all of the former guests out there. Amazing. A lot of great information, awareness. I mean, it's been, incredible how this show has made a success. And thanks to all you, the audience, you know, the callers calling in. So everybody, you know, if you ever have to go back to these shows, they're very informative and the awareness is there and how you can help out because we need you. The more voices out there, the faster the changes will be made. Okay, so hope you enjoy the show. Thank you, all you new listeners that come aboard, and all you return listeners, thank you for all you do. Big shout out to my mother, Pat Dahmer, a.k.a. Moose. I love you, Moose, and that's her nickname. She don't look like a moose, another name for Mom, but great support, beautiful woman inside and out. So keep the love in your families, everybody, because we're only on this earth temporarily. So make the best of it. But I'm going to take calls later on in the show. And I'm jot this number down. It's the same number every Thursday. So if you want to store it in your contacts, area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 and let me know that. You know, you want to ask any comments or questions for the guests, and I'll let you in. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background. TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. Let's get going with this show. I want to welcome back Holly Gann. She is the Director of Federal Affairs for Animal Wellness Foundation and Animal Wellness Action. And she's, I believe, was show number 254 of Voices Carry for Animals, that she was a guest, did a great interview. Now she's coming back, and she's always welcome back. And I've had also Marty Irby on. He also is a great voice. How you doing this evening, Holly? Welcome back to Voices Carry for Animals. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. I'm glad to be back on your show.
All right, and glad to have you back. This is such an honor. But go ahead and tell the audience, you know, refresh their memory how you got started. Go ahead.
Yeah. Organization that's based in Washington, D.C., and we work on getting good policies implemented to help protect animals from cruelty. And the Animal Wellness Foundation is a 501c3 organization that's based out of California and provides animal rescue and fostering, you know, rescuing animals from abuse, neglect, and abandonment. They fund spay neuter and vaccination programs and are also actively engaged on policy efforts as well. And we're really glad to, you know, be back on the show, you know, talking about these issues, and especially excited to talk about the ACE Act.
That is so important, everybody. And when you get a chance, get out there and call, you know, make them calls to get this ACE Act, the Animal Cruelty Enforcement, H.R. 8052. And, you know, you could call your state rep, and this all you, you know, when they answer, when the staffer answers, just tell them you're a constituent and you're calling, ask them, please co-sponsor the Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act, H.R. 8052, to crack down on animal abuse. And, you know, spread the word, because it's never too late. I've talked to many people that have never called or didn't even know who their, you know, rep was. Then they got in contact and they wish they would have done it a long time ago, because it means so much. Our voices are our votes, everybody. So make sure, you know, you get a contact with them, because that's how changes come about, right? That's how it happens.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, I absolutely cannot echo that enough. It is so easy to make a quick call to your legislator, and I think a lot of people get very nervous about it. It seems like an intimidating type of thing to call your member of Congress, but it's actually super easy. You just call that number, the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. The person that answers the phone, they'll ask for your zip code. You just give them your zip code and say that you want to be transferred to your representative. And then a staffer will answer the phone. And all you have to do is say, hi, I'm a constituent, and I'm calling to ask you to co-sponsor the Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act, H.R. 8052. And just to give everyone a little bit of background, we should probably talk about, you know, what is the ACE Act? Like, what does the ACE Act do? And so this is a brand new bill. It just got introduced last week. It's never been introduced in the Congress before. It's very new. And what it would do is it would establish an animal cruelty crime section at the Department of Justice to focus solely on animal cruelty crimes. And so when we're talking about animal cruelty crimes, we're talking about violations of federal laws, animal cruelty laws. So, for example, the federal animal fighting law, criminal violations of the Horse Protection Act, the Animal Welfare Act, and the Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act, which some of the listeners may recall just passed very recently in this Congress. And we're very excited about this bill. It was introduced by a great bipartisan team. But Joe Neguse, he's a Democrat from Colorado, Matt Gaetz, a Republican from Florida, and then also Steve Cohen, a Democrat from Tennessee, and Representative Buddy Carter, who's a Republican from Georgia. And, you know, this bill was addressed to address the animal cruelty that is running rampant across this country. I mean, animal cruelty, it's running rampant, and it requires a stronger response from federal authorities. You know, the laws are only useful if they're enforced, and Congress has passed, you know, federal laws like the ones that I mentioned, like the animal fighting law, you know, to protect animals. And now it's up to the Department of Justice to ensure that those laws are actually enforced. And by creating a dedicated animal cruelty crime section at the Department of Justice, that'd be a strong step in the right direction. With dedicated staff focusing solely on these issues, it would allow for improved enforcement of animal welfare laws and streamline the way these cases are handled so they don't slip through the cracks. And it's really, I can't express enough how easy it is to make the call, and how, especially with this bill, I know with all kinds of federal animal protection bills, we're always asking people to make a call, but because this bill is newer, you know, for all of the listeners out there, you know, your voice is even more important on this one because it is a new bill. And so Congress hasn't heard as much about this one as they've heard about, you know, maybe some other bills. And so your call is going to be that much more critical.
That's right. And they're so important too. You know, even taking a moment to write that email, and there's a form, everyone. Your website, Holly, is awesome. I have signed so many petitions on there, taken action, and I get a response in my primary email. So, and it doesn't take that long to fill them out either. You know, so there is a form. If you don't want to call, then you could do that. And that's on, I got it on the PPJ also, Holly, form. Just press
Great,
the link.
Excellent.
Yes. And I also,
yeah,
you know, put on there where, you know, the phone number on Blog Talk Radio, you know, and spread the word, everybody. Keep that number handy. Put it in your contacts, please. Area code 202-224-3121.
Yep.
And I've been.
And we do have. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Because that's amazing.
Oh,
that's
we
a
do,
good
we,
number. I got it memorized. I've called it so
yeah,
many times.
And link that you mentioned, yeah, we try to make it really easy. So if you'd like to send a quick email to your members of Congress, you know, you just kind of click that link, fill in your information, and it'll send that message to your legislator automatically. We'll have the link to that action alert up on our website very soon at www.animalwellnessaction.org. That's animalwellnessaction.org. Also, you can go on our Facebook page and also the Facebook page for the Animal Wellness Foundation. We have a post up there with the action alert link, and you can also share that. You know, share the action alert link on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter. You know, social media is a really powerful way to amplify your message and get other people to take action, right? So it's not just you taking action, but now you're amplifying your effort by, you know, getting several other people to take action and getting them aware of what's going on.
Yeah, it's a human chain reaction. You know, the more voices, the faster changes will be made. I remember the PACT Act, Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act, did a couple shows on that. Can never take full credit, but when you get involved and see victories coming through, mm-hmm. you know, with Marty Irby, he was with President Donald Trump when the president signed it, and I was like, well, jump to the ceiling, you know, it was awesome. And I said, look, I mean, it can be done, everybody. Just put that effort into it, that dedication, involvement, and it doesn't take that long. I mean, I should get involved with all kind of issues, including elder abuse. So, I try to focus on it and try to see a victory. I don't stop. I keep going. And whatever efforts, what it takes to do it and keep getting the word out, especially on social media, it's like a landing strip where we, you know, with all these groups and pages, either on Facebook or you're on Twitter or LinkedIn, Pinterest, wherever you're at, and you press that share button or retweet or whatever, and it gets out there in that news feed. And it's amazing how many times I've seen the petitions, I mean, skyrocket with signatures. And that PACT Act was one of them. I believe it was up mm-hmm. in the 800,000 signatures. It could be over that. But that's proof right there that all of these things we're working on, they can become a victory. Because when you have strong leaders and strong supporters, it leads to strong victories that are so meaningful. And you look at them and say, hey, this was worth it. You know, I wasn't spinning my wheels. And the ones that are not as fast getting into legislation or not passing fast enough, don't give up. Be relentless and keep trying. Because if you stop and quit, you have just lost. You know, you lost for the animals. And I don't want that feeling. I want to be a winner for the animals, not a loser for the animals. Right, Holly? We got to
right.
keep going. And it matters.
That is absolutely correct. And I hear from a lot of advocates and rescuers that they do, you know, sometimes people get a little discouraged over time because, you know, with legislation, it can take a long time for a bill to pass, whether it's a state bill or a federal bill in front of Congress. And then, of course, getting those laws enforced is an entirely separate matter. And, you know, I try to encourage people to just, you've got to stick with it and keep going and understand that, you know, we're in this for the long game. This isn't a battle, it's a war. And this is a long-term effort, and to just keep at it, because, you know, collectively we're making movement. We're getting momentum on these issues. And this is definitely not the time to give up, you know, especially with the PACT Act passing. And then we've got this new bill in Congress that is already just kicked off with such tremendous bipartisan support. You know, we're making good progress here on these issues. So if anything, this is the time to get more active, kind of refresh your activism. It's definitely not the time to give up.
That's right. Keep going, keep moving forward and doing what you need to do and, you know, get involved. That's all it takes. Just, you know, some of your time, and it's meaningful. It's not wasting it. You're doing, you know, these animals cannot fight for themselves, defend themselves. They can't go after laws and make them stricter or harsher penalties. There's no way. So we have to do it for them. We are the voices for them, everyone. We are strength in numbers. We become stronger and stronger the more we come together and have this chain reaction of people taking, you know, taking action is the key. That's the bottom line right there. And we have to connect with our legislators and be professional and polite. You don't have to get, you know, irate or cuss them out or anything. Just, you know, speak in a tone where you want to see justice. Justice for animals, because that means so much. And, you know, the animals especially thank us when they see their lives and futures turn for the better. You know, so, and that's what we want to see. We want their rights granted, living in comfort and in out there, you know, freedom. You see these, you know, horrific stories and it's just mind-blowing what's going on out there on some issues. You know, with these animals, they deserve better rights, you know, especially bullfighting. And I mean, there's a list of, you know, dog fighting. There is, you know, it's no excuse for this. When an animal is tortured or animal cruelty front lines and nothing's being done about it, we got issues, everyone. We cannot continue to let this happen. And people laughing and clapping their hands and yelling, or it's over money. This is animal cruelty. And that is it's a crime. Abuse and neglect, whether it's a child, an elderly person, an animal, it is crimes, and they need to be treated like crimes, not just slap on the wrist and say, okay, you can just get a fine and maybe mm-hmm. some probation. That's sickening, because that mm-hmm. animal, or whether it's a child or elderly person, it wasn't a, you know, misdemeanor to them. It wasn't just probation mm-hmm. Or a fine. So we have to strengthen them. We're in the 21st century, and we want to see these years in the future of all these animals be better. You know, they so well deserve. We see a massive decrease in animal cruelty and child neglect and abuse and elder abuse. I mean, this, all of them, you know.
Right.
So we, in order to see that, we got to take action and fight for them. So
absolutely.
I got a call here. Holly, you want to take it? Let me see here.
Yeah, let's go for it.
We're rocking airways, Holly, again. For the animals, that's what we're here for, everybody. Okay, area code 530. How are you doing there, Jennifer?
I'm doing...
I know your number.
Uh-oh,
I got your
I'm
number.
In trouble now. Hello, ladies.
You are
Hi, Holly.
In trouble.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, fine, thanks. We're rocking airways for the animals.
Yes.
Never
give up. Never give up. No. Like Holly was saying, like you're saying. Yeah, definitely excited to see this. Holly had tagged me on this House Resolution 8052, and I'm just pumped Holly, to see animal cruelty, you know, justice being sought on the congressional federal level, because as we all know, generally speaking, animals in the justice system are on the very, very bottom of the pile in priority. So to see something federally, you know, being addressed in this way is phenomenal. How long is or when was this introduced, Holly? And where are we in the legislative process with H.R. 8052?
Yeah. So the bill was just introduced last week. So
it's brand new.
Brand new, just introduced last week. And so, you know, this is why it's just so incredibly important for everyone to send an email and make that call to your federal U.S. representative and ask them to co-sponsor the bill. I think that, you know, there are many animal protection bills that have been around for a number of years, so they're very well socialized on Capitol Hill. But this is a newer bill. And so I think that makes, you know, everyone's voices even stronger when they make that call to their member of Congress asking them to co-sponsor H.R. 8052. And, you know, while this bill is new, you know, we started the effort to enhance enforcement of animal cruelty laws. Actually, last year, I had spent a considerable portion of the year working through the congressional appropriations process with members of Congress to successfully get some language included in last year in the final spending bill that was passed by Congress. And they included language directing the Department of Justice to make enforcement of animal cruelty laws a priority. And that was such an amazing thing to see in writing.
Wow.
From Congress directing the agency to do this, because
wow,
exactly like you said, oftentimes these crimes are at the very bottom of the priority list, and that's
sadly
a shame, because
it's tragic.
It's tragic because inherently animals do deserve protection, but also like Debbie was saying earlier, there is an indisputable link between animal abuse and abuse of children,
absolutely,
the elderly.
Yep.
Domestic violence.
Yep.
We just saw a case in Florida where someone was just arrested by Volusia Sheriff's Office, and it was found over 1,000 child pornographic images on his phone.
Yeah.
But then
yep,
they also found videos of him raping his dog.
Gosh. Yeah.
So we see
terrible
this child abuse, animal abuse. So there is ample.
They're usually hand
compelling
in hand
reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a compelling reason to crack down on these crimes and make them more of a priority. So Congress included that language last year, and then we made another run at it again this year. And once again, Representative Jonah Goose and Matt Gaetz leading the charge on that through the congressional appropriations process, and they secured language in the U.S. House of Representatives just a few weeks ago, again reiterating that the Department of Justice needs to make enforcement of animal cruelty laws a priority. And they also urged the Department of Justice to create this animal cruelty crimes unit.
That's absolutely fabulous. I mean, I can't put in words how amazing this is, because this is a huge step. Now, I know I hear a lot of times when speaking about congressional legislation, you know, on a federal level, a lot of times you know, people will say, well, and so I'm kind of curious about this as far as enforcement. Is this going to be kind of similar to the PACT Act? Because the PACT Act was great and was a wonderful step, although to my understanding, it's only can be enforced on, is it, I don't know if it's true, on federal land? On federal, you know, land only. This is, at least this is what I'm hearing. And of course, it doesn't cover, you know, other certain acts of cruelty. So, you know, what with this H.R. 852, where is this going to be applied? Like what area, like what is the way, how is it going to be applied and enforced?
So for the PACT Act, so that actually established the first general anti-animal cruelty law on the federal level. So while all 50 states have state laws criminalizing animal cruelty, this was the first kind of general animal cruelty law on the federal level. And so it was tailored to more egregious, serious acts of animal cruelty. Mm-hmm. And it's defined in the statute, but crushing, burning, impaling,
right,
when it occurs on federal property or in interstate commerce. So essentially there has to be a federal nexus, right? So the majority of animal cruelty cases will still be prosecuted using local and state laws.
Mm-hmm.
But where there is that that federal nexus, and so, for example, if you have a case that involves defendants from multiple different states, a lot of online activity, a case that is more federal in nature, that is where the PACT Act is going to apply. And, of course, if it's on federal property, that's a federal issue as well. And so it's basically the division between there are some issues where federal legislation applies, and then there are some situations where state laws apply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with
okay.
animal fighting, for example, in some situations, you know, those cases are handled on the state level. But in many other situations, you know, animal fighting is inherently tends to be federal in nature. You know, typically animal fighting rings are very large. You have defendants that,
yeah.
The animal fighters and those who, the spectators who go and attend and gamble,
right.
will be from multiple different states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have paraphernalia,
right.
you know, maybe advertising. They used Facebook or other online methods. And so those tend to, because of all that interstate activity, tend to be more federal in nature. And also because of just the fact that a lot of these animal fighting rings are just so large.
Right.
It makes more sense that federal authorities are involved. Now, with the ACE Act, what the ACE Act is doing is it's creating a section at the Department of Justice. So it would be a section. So the Department of Justice is broken into several different sections. Like, for example, wildlife has a section there. You know, civil rights has a section. You know, there's basically a section for, you know, it seems like pretty much anything at the Department of Justice. But what we noticed with animal cruelty crimes is that they really didn't have a home there. You know, they're just kind of being handled under the environmental crime section.
Okay.
And, you know, at this point, now that Congress has passed so many laws
mm-hmm.
to address animal protection, it calls for a greater effort at the Department of Justice to start cracking down on these crimes, because animal cruelty right now is rampant. You know, animal
yeah.
fighting, we
right.
think that there are literally thousands and thousands of animal fighting operations occurring
oh, no doubt.
In the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
right now that
right.
you know, demand their attention. And it's not being enforced at the level it needs to. I mean, the scope of the problem requires a greater response. And so the idea is to get a section created at the Department of Justice that would be responsible for enforcing the federal animal welfare law. So they would be enforcing the PACT Act. They would enforce the federal animal fighting law. You know, the Horse Protection Act.
Right.
And criminal violations of the Animal Welfare Act.
So then with H.R. 8052, is this mainly then requesting specifically for creating a department?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what's going to be my next question, is because if the ACE Act included any language covering certain types of cruelty, because that's one thing that I would like to see at some point, more inclusion in on the federal level in regards to gross neglect.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's often when there are animal cruelty laws, it often addresses egregious, direct acts of violence. But I have found that it's a little harder to find language for enforcement on neglect. It's not addressed quite as as frequently and in the same way, I don't think. And that's something that I'm interested in. I'm looking forward to speaking with you tomorrow, because being that the ACE Act covers the, you know, it will be included addressing dog fighting, and an issue, as Debbie knows, it says over and drill it in the ground. People are probably tired of hearing about it, but long-term canine tethering and chaining is something that is very rampant and often included and tied together with dog fighting, being a lot of the times their conditioning, their champions are fighting dogs in that manner. Not necessarily always, but more often than not, the chaining is tied together.
Right.
And it would be great to see something on the federal level to make it harder, more difficult for dog fighters to be able to do the chaining. And if you have something setting a precedence on the general level to the public that's, you know, disallowed, it's not allowed in the general public, it would make it more easily spottable by law enforcement and for citizens to be able to pinpoint and spot these dogfighting rings if the general public has not been, you know, has been prohibited to do the chaining. You're going to be able to spot the criminals that much more easily. So that's what I'm hoping to maybe brainstorm with you. This is a new, and like you said, this is just formation of a department to address this. But I think I'm just stoked that it's going in such a great direction. And in inclusion with that, has there been talk? I know people have been talking for a long time, but I don't know if it's maybe been brought up. I've heard pros and cons. Some people think it would be great, some not. But a federal animal abuse registry, has that been discussed at all in conjunction with the ACE Act as well, to keep track of offenders that move from state to state and hurt animals?
It hasn't necessarily come up in conversations about the ACE Act, since the ACE Act is at this time, you know, focused on getting more enforcement activity at the Department of Justice. But I do know that, you know, generally that has been a topic that has been, you know, discussed really across the country.
Right.
Some states have implemented legislation on that issue.
Oh, they have. Has this been something recent, or?
It's not very recent. I mean, in the last few years, I believe state or local legislation on that. And then, you know, the FBI has a database as well. But one of the issues is that it is, kind of a voluntary reporting type of system. So local law enforcement officials are not necessarily required to report animal cruelty statistics to the FBI. It's just voluntary reporting.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I'm hoping at some point it will be something mandatory. Because, see, that's what I'm wondering, too, because with this with the ACE Act, has there been discussion, like you were mentioning earlier, how the link, that connection between animal and human abuse and cruelty, is there a plan of action on how law enforcement and animal control will maybe be able to streamline the connection? So it's like, if you see human abuse in the home, then you're looking for abused animals, or if you see abused animals, then you're going to look for abused humans. Is there anything inclusive, or has there been that discussion as well? Because I've seen, like, so often it's like it's a very a bumpy, it's not a real smooth connection between the two all the time.
Right, exactly. And that would actually be something that would be most impactful on the state level in state legislation? Because I think you're talking about like the mandatory cross-reporting. Is that what you're thinking about? Like if somebody comes across animal abuse, if like the Department of Children and Families goes out because of a child abuse allegation, but they also see that there is animal cruelty, then they're also required to report the animal cruelty as well.
Yes, yes. I don't know if that's something mandatory from state to state. I just know that I've come across various circumstance, you know, cases. I've seen different cases where it hasn't always been fluid, and
that's right.
Like the ball's been dropped, unfortunately, and you know, either the person, you know, a child in the case or an animal in the case has not been. Has not received help in time or in a quick enough manner. I don't know. I'm lost for words there, but it could have been more effective. Like if it had been
right.
It had been more streamlined.
Oh, definitely agree. I've seen various cases like that, and that would typically be handled by state authorities and. You know, most states do not have legislation enacted to require that cross-reporting, but these agencies should be communicating with each other. It should be more fluid. They should be communicating, and, you know, if animal cruelty is witnessed, they need to report that, and vice versa. I worked on a case
right.
several years ago where, you know, animal control was called out because there were concerns about the welfare of the animals. And, you know, animal control and sheriff's department and myself went out to the property and, you know, law enforcement went up to the door, you know, knocked on the door to talk to the owners and come to find out the children who really the neighbors never really saw. The kids were pretty much kept inside. The children were in really bad shape as well. And they got, in that situation, they did get the Department of Children and Family Services involved. But in many cases, there is not enough fluid cooperation between agencies.
Yes, yes. It would really be great to see more, more state statutes. Collaborating on that and getting that enforced in more states, because it's such a no-brainer, you know, to have the departments more fluid in their communication. Now, so with the ACE Act, can you maybe tell us a little bit about the legislative process on the congressional level? Because sometimes it can get a little I don't know, convoluted or a little bit tricky to sometimes follow it. And roughly, is there an average time frame that a congressional bill takes from start to finish the process, or does it vary widely? And like with this bill, what's the expectation for completion and then hopefully being signed by the president?
The amount of time that it takes for a federal bill to pass varies widely. I mean, there are some bills that have been in the Congress for, you know, a decade. And then there are some that pass after a few years. And then there are other issues that can be addressed pretty quickly. And it all depends on, you know, how much attention and momentum we're able to get in congressional support that we're able to get on the issue, which is why it's so important for everyone to call in to ask their representative to co-sponsor and take action, because that's critical to getting support on the bill. But you never know when there might be, another piece of legislation that Congress is required to pass, and perhaps, you know, if it makes sense, then, you know, language from the ACE Act could be added on to that bill, for example. Like, it's a different vehicle for
like
getting
piggyback.
That legislation. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's awesome. Has there been anything, because, I mean, this is brand new, but has there been any bills coming along or that's been maybe sitting around a while that you think might look like a possibility that it could piggyback, if that would be beneficial for it?
I think this year it's a little bit tough because, you know, this Congress will be over at the end of the year. So there's, you know, with elections and everything, we don't have a whole lot of time, right?
Yeah,
we need to build
yeah.
up as much support as we can. If the bill is not moved this year, it will get reintroduced next year. And then we'll go back to all those offices that co-sponsor, all these members of Congress that co-sponsored this year, then we go back to them and then they co-sponsor again. And then we look for the next, you know, legislative vehicle that it could attach to. And then meanwhile, we're going to continue with the appropriations process over on the Senate side and hopefully have the same success that we had on the House side as far as, you know, getting funding for the animal cruelty enforcement. You know, in the House side, we were able to get $1 million dedicated to enforcing animal cruelty crimes. Yep. And then hopefully, you know, again, seeing that language urging the Department of Justice to create this animal cruelty crime section. And so we just kind of keep this momentum going and we look for the opportunity for this to pass. But that being said, you know, the committees that have jurisdiction over the bill, in this case, the Judiciary Committees, you know, the chair could decide to go ahead and, you know, move the bill.
We definitely hope so. I've contacted via your alert. I've contacted my legislator, and I plan on calling as well. What is it looking like so far as far as sponsors and co-sponsors so far? Is it looking pretty good?
We've got we have 5 on the bill right now.
Nice.
So
okay.
I think that's pretty good,
that's a good start.
Considering that it's a good start since it just got introduced and, you know, Congress is kind of not kind of fully in session right now, as we would say in session. So there may have been other members of Congress that have co-sponsored and that the co-sponsor list just hasn't been updated yet because it's a little spottier as far as how often it gets updated during the month of August. But then once we get into September, it'll be updated more regularly. As other members of Congress start co-sponsoring. And then as far as the legislative process, I always, I know we talked about how it can attach, you know, you can attach legislation to another moving, you know, piece of legislation.
Yes.
You know, for example,
that's
the Farm Bill. So the Farm Bill 2018, that was a piece of legislation that Congress had to pass, the Farm Bill. And so that was an opportunity to get the Pet and Women's Safety Act attached to help domestic violence victims and their pets. Also, the final upgrade to the animal fighting law, and then also the law that now prohibits the slaughter of dogs and cats in the U.S.
Right.
So that's an example of you keep building support for those bills, and then when you have an opportunity to move those, then you're able to jump and do that.
That's exciting.
But otherwise, the standard process is you introduce a bill. It needs to be approved by both chambers, the House and the Senate, and then it ultimately goes to the President to be signed. And then within the House and the Senate, typically, there's all kinds of different ways the legislative process can work out, but typically a bill would go through committee and then go in front of that entire chamber. So House Committee, entire House of Representatives, and then the Senate Committee, entire Senate, and then off to the President.
Well, I'm definitely going to be pushing this bill big time. So I'm going to be sharing it all over because it is so badly needed. Although, Debbie, I hear the ding-dong in the back, so I don't know. I think people are wanting to ask questions.
Hey, but you can stay on there, Animal Warrior Sister.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you bet. Thanks,
Tag
Holly.
Team.
That was a great explanation.
Tag team partner. Thank you for calling Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. You have any comments or questions for the guests, please go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Glenda from Iowa, and I have to start by saying, full disclaimer, I'm Holly's mom.
Hi, Holly's mom.
Oh,
which
is,
Which is not why I'm calling in. I swear I'm not calling in for that reason. I listen to what she does. And no, really what I called in, really what I called in for is because, you know, you were talking about, and I'm in Iowa, and so things that we've addressed in Iowa, you know, are some of what you talked about, like, you know, dogs on chains and, you know, and on tethers and trying to get, you know, law enforcement to step up when they see animal cruelty and things like that. And the things that we've run into in making that more beneficial, and I know part of the reason Holly, you know, came back and said, you know, that's really best handled on the state level, is it's even more finite than that, is what we find is that, you know, you have small town sheriff and deputies in rural areas that, you know, are do a good job of policing their area, but they're just not equipped to know any of the laws, the state laws regarding, you know, animal cruelty in the area, yeah, or in the state, or even locally, even on a county level. And so a lot of what we want to see change, we realize, really needs to start with literally going out and talking to, you know, sheriff's association and deputy sheriffs and reaching law enforcement and saying, hey, you know what, these laws are on the books and we have a point where you can, you know, log into our website and read exactly what they are if you want to know what the statute is for this. Because a lot of times what we see is either they just don't know if there's even anything they can prosecute on or charge, right, somebody before, or, you know, and how to even go about looking at that first in the first place. I mean, obviously, like, it makes sense to a lot of us to just get on and be like, oh, we'll just log on the state side and find out what the laws are. But it's not even that. It's not, that's even out of the reach, I think, for some rural areas. And
well,
that's not just Iowa.
Right, and more training is almost always needed. And actually, a wonderful organization, and I'm sure Holly already knows of it, is the Animal Legal Defense Fund.
Yes.
One of their members, their attorney's Diane Balkin, if someone is willing to make arrangements of a venue in any particular area, they provide free training for law enforcement, judges, the prosecuting attorneys, all of that specifically on animal cruelty, and it's all free. You just have to set it up. So
that's a great resource. Thank you for
yes,
mentioning that.
Yes, highly recommend. Yeah, Diane Balkin is her name with Animal Legal Defense Fund. So I always encourage any area, hey, take full advantage. If you're local animal control law enforcement, if they need training on how to prosecute animal cruelty, they are the ones to turn to. ALDF is amazing with that.
Yes.
So I totally agree.
Yeah, it's frustrating on that level. You have a police officer who's like, hey, I think I'd like to prosecute that, just to have some leverage for, you know, pushing up the food chain on a more serious charge for something else or something. And then you'll have a prosecuting attorney that will be like, yeah, I have like, you know, 80,000 books on my case and I don't want to have to investigate prosecuting a, you know, an animal cruelty thing. And that's unfortunate also. I mean, there's just a lot of moving cogs. I was glad to see the Interstate Act, the federal law that Holly just worked on so hard to get passed, because that like will close a lot of loopholes with, you know, we're in Iowa and our laws are different than, you know, the neighboring state, which has more dogfighting laws than we do. And so on those border communities, you know, they're just running back and forth over the border because they know they can get away with it in Iowa,
right,
as they can in Nebraska. And so having those kind of federal laws in place now limit the ability, that closes that loophole for those people to get away with that.
Well, and it sets a higher precedence. You know, it's like raising the standard. And that's why I really like to see bills like this on a federal level being passed, because too many areas, I mean, on a federal congressional level are just way too low. I mean, and for a modern, you know, first world country, we're way behind in that area. So, you know, raising the bar is what needs to happen. So I'm very excited that Holly, your daughter, you have raised a wonderful girl to working so hard on helping our wonderful voiceless animals. So you did very well.
Yes, Holly's mom, you did very well. She is great. I mean, Wow. She is relentless and strong. I'm so proud of her. And you too, Animal Warrior Sister Jennifer. Strength
and
numbers.
You know,
yes.
You never have too many warriors out there.
That's right. Always. And, you know, next week's show is anti-dog fighting campaigns coming on. Ashley Goodenough and Danielle Legic. And I'm going to pass this form to fill out to them because they might put it on their Facebook page, you know. So, hey,
yeah, that'd
pass
be awesome.
Them a word. Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm as the anti-chain division director. I am lobbying with ADFC, with the League of Humane Voters for Florida. So we're working to pass a statewide statute for attended tethering only. So we're hardcore lobbying right now. So Florida might be the first state to have this.
I hope so, Jennifer.
I gotta
bring you back on too. Say you up as a guest, okay?
Well, I'm hoping
we'll
have really good news before I come on again.
Okay, we'll look at it and we'll check what's happening. But I'll be sharing this form, all over Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest, LinkedIn, wherever I can pass it along, because I'm admin
absolutely.
On a lot of pages and groups.
Especially, right, definitely. And so for the ACE Act, Holly, is there a real urgency? We don't want to lollygag along, but is there any sense of urgency on getting people to contact their congressional legislators to get co-signers on?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
definitely, like ASAP. Like if
ASAP. So there is an urgency. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because
urgency for sure. Because as we get closer and closer to the election, Congress tends to kind of slow down as far as their legislative activity.
Right.
So we want to, get as much support as we can before the end of the year and, before the November elections for sure.
Okay. Well, that's good to know go ahead.
And I'm glad to see that you all are going to be, you're going to have another, is it the next show that's going to be about animal fighting?
Yes, it is. Fighting campaign. Next week.
Good.
Yes.
Excellent. Because,
so if
you
want to listen in, go ahead. Anytime.
Yeah. I mean, definitely will. Yeah. The issue is it's quite rampant across the U.S. right now. And you all probably saw the two Georgia cases from earlier this year. There was a giant dog fighting case where they recovered 168 animals from just that one dog fighting case.
That's insane.
And then there was
a
cop fighting case where they rescued 800 roosters and there were 178 people in attendance. And that's just to give you an idea of the scope
that's vile.
And those are just two cases.
Well, and like you said, what often you need to tell people, it's not just an animal issue. It's so many crimes are associated with dog fighting. You've got human trafficking, you've got drug dealing, you've got illegal weapons. I mean, it's a cesspool of all kinds of criminal activity that are usually surrounding dog fighting. So it's like unraveling a ball of yarn kind of thing. So I'm so pumped to see the ACE Act being introduced, and I'm gonna push this one big time, Holly. You bet.
Oh yeah,
I really appreciate it.
I pushed that PACT Act too. The other ones, the Horse Protection Act, and the other one, what was it? Oh, we got 90 seconds, everyone. This time is flying. Oh.
Thank you, ladies.
Anyway,
thanks, Holly.
Hey, Holly's mom, Glenda. Is it Glenda? Thank you so much for calling in and calling anytime or listening.
Thank you.
We love to hear callers call in. And you got a great daughter there, and going to welcome her back again. Holly, thank you for coming on here again, and thank you for all you're doing. It's so inspiring, and Jennifer. AKA Animal Warrior Sister Tag Team,
Back at you,
and
lady.
Mama Cat system in. Yes, and she is, you know, hard, fighting very hard for these, you know, dogs in chains and everything. So everyone, please do something, because I've seen so many ugly photos out there, especially
yeah.
Chris Kelly, a former guest, and Jennifer, these photos of dogs being tied to trees during, you know, during hot weather, cold weather, snow, during hurricanes. I mean,
yeah.
it is sickening. It needs to be stopped. You
right.
know, because that they're getting tortured out there.
It
and,
is.
Absolutely. But we need to do something. In your group
yes.
or your page is USA Unchained, is it, Jennifer?
Well, Canine Unchained USA is my Facebook group, but I
okay.
most of the work that I do is with the anti-dog fighting campaign
okay.
that will be on next week. So.
Yeah, you should
a little bit of both.
Please call in, because you're a great speaker for the animals too, okay? You're all of you
best.
Are. Thank you.
Yes.
And
yes.
Voices Care for Animals on every Thursday, everyone. Podcast, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide. All shows are archived and on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, everyone, for tuning
thanks,
in.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks, Holly.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks so
Thank
much,
you,
guys.
Holly. And Holly's mom, Glinda.
yeah.
Thank you. Love
yes,
it.
Have a great
okay?
evening.
And you too. Now,
thanks,
thank
guys.
You, everyone, for tuning in. May God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.